I'm like, ah, what are you passionate about, you know? What makes you tick?
Next up, Zach Bryan. Singer, songwriter, musician, doesn't matter. They all mean the same thing. He's smashing it on YouTube.
Was a boy who was a dreamer, and he flew so high and proud. In a world full of people out to cut his young ass down.
Having a hard time juggling her is the hard time sitting on my jugular. Trying my best just to get ahead. The world isn't fair to a heart that's dead.
We talk about his story so far and the future plans for his music. Plus, we discuss following your passion. Are you following your passion? In the wise words of Zach Bryan.
Do it! Oh.
How old were you when you began writing your songs?
I was 14 years old. My grandpa Jerry, he got me this Takamine guitar, you know, and he got it for me for my birthday. It's all I wanted, and then I just started writing these funny, goofy songs with me and all my buddies, you know, and I would make fun of them, and I'd write they're so stupid, and I bet if you go back on my Facebook like 10 years, or probably like 15 years now, you'll find them, and it's just me being an idiot in the downstairs of my dad's house, just playing random songs, and they were all supposed to be funny. I wanted to be a funny songwriter at first. But then again, I never really planned on being a songwriter at all, so it's funny for me to say that.
So, writing for you, was it a form of escapism or just a way to, like, express yourself?
I think both, man, because I've kept a journal every single day since I was probably, like, 15 years old, you know? And I think I've told you that before, but writing always made me feel a lot clearer, you know? Like, a lot more clear in my life where, like, everything was reality on the page that I just wrote. So, like, I'd have a day or I'd have a week and then I'd write it all down and I'd be like, oh, okay, so I know this is like a checkpoint, you know, like, this is real. Now I can move on and live more of my life. And that's already documented. All that is already there. You can only move forward from there, you know. So that's what writing was to me, because I feel like if you don't write stuff down, you don't have, like, closure. And you don't, like, Jordan Peterson, dude, one of my favorite psychologists, he always says that always keep a notebook on you, it'll make you feel like 10 times better. Because you can just write what you're feeling, you know, and then you don't have to keep it in your head. You can put it somewhere else.
So the guitar planted the seed. You weren't writing at all before that.
Well, I was really into English. I used to win awards for, like, middle school awards, you know, like in my class for, like, the papers and stuff. And I got really into, like, composition and, like, literature. And, like, when I got into high school, I was a weird kid because I was, like, reading books. But I was also hanging out with all my friends who were into sports and stuff. So it was, like, a weird dynamic. But, I always just enjoyed writing and, like, people being able to, like, express feelings on a page that makes you feel. It's so weird to me that someone can type something out and then there it is, dude, and it makes you feel something. It's so crazy. So writing was always interesting. Then I got the guitar and I was like, holy shit.
So it wasn't really a thing that, like, made you feel happy in any way. It was just a way of reflecting, a way of getting things out of your head down on paper. Did you want to go and check that shit out later?
Reflecting is a good word.
Right. Did you want to come back at it later in history, or was it just for that sort of being in the present?
I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing when I was writing it. You know what I mean? So I would write it and then I would just forget about it. And then now I'm so thankful that I did that, because now it is reflective. I can go back and be like, dude, I was an idiot, or wow, I remember that girl, or wow, I remember that night. And it's, dude, it makes everything so, like a visceral thing. Like, you can see it in your own head, you know? Because, dude, think about your life. You probably don't remember anything 3 years ago from, like, the night you went out to the bars with your guys, right? And I learned that, you know? And I was like, dude, if I write this shit down, I'll always remember it. And I don't got to worry about, like, having to remember this stuff and getting Alzheimer's and not remembering people's names, you know? Because it's there, you know? And, dude, your grandkids can read it. Like, everyone can read what you were about. And not like it matters, man. We're all just little souls running around on the planet. But those grandkids or those kids you're going to have would like to know what you were up to when you were reckless and wild, you know?
That way of writing, you say you're thankful for it now. I'd see that creeping into your songs. Is that what you do? You go through these old journals and you're like, oh, there was a special moment in my life about this girl or this stupid shit I did with the boys, or...
Partly.
Does that kind of happen, or is it more current?
Partly, it's a lot of that. But it's not really like going back on it and looking at it. It's the fact that I wrote it down to begin with, you know? So, like, Like, I have these songs called Godspeed and Doing Fine and stuff like that. I don't think if I would have ever wrote it down, I would have really realized what kind of moment it was. Like, it would have never been that important to me to, like, write it down, you know? But those moments were important enough for me to write down. So I think subconsciously in my head, I'm like, okay, cool. And then I'll write from there. But also, dude, I just love writing, you know, like rhyming and the actual like utility of like just putting words together that sound good, you know, and sound cool. And it's just fun, man. And music is like the best thing on the planet. So it's like putting those two things together is really a beautiful thing.
So by the sounds of it, mate, one of the first things you try your hand at, you stick at, like from the age of 14.
Yeah, that's about it. The thing with it was like, throughout my life, like throughout being 14 and like going through those like relationships and stuff, and then turning 17 and joining the Navy, I would always get off work and like go home and write music because, dude, it sucked, you know, like being on deployment sucked. Being in the Navy was, it sucked at times. I had a lot of good times too, but I could get off work or I could get like, I'd be on deployment working 17 hour shifts in the desert. And I'm like, dude, I got to get away from this. And I just go freaking play as hard as I can and write as much as I could about how I felt about that. And it all kind of developed and molded me into, and I think I told you this last time, but bro, there was a feeling inside me. Like when I was younger, I was like 16, 17, even 19, 20, when I would go home and I knew that I was bad at what I was doing. Like, dude, I would go into my room and like write this music and it would all be really cringy. And like, I look back on it now and I'm like, ugh. But I knew I was bad at it then too. But in my head, I would always say like, keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop doing what you're doing because this is going to mean something someday. And not like I thought I was some, like, I didn't have a God complex. I didn't think I was that important or anything. I just felt like I owed it to myself to follow all the way through and become great at something, you know, which I'm not great yet, but I'm still in that process. And to this day, dude, I'll write something and be like, I don't like that. But you can't not write it, because if you don't, then you stop where you are, you know?
You don't write anything, you don't grow. Whereas you get it out there, you make those sort of baby steps. And every single day, because it practice makes perfect. The people aren't born with this talent, are they?
But metaphorically too, like in anything, bro, like it doesn't matter if it sucks or if it's terrible or if you don't like it. If you're doing it, one of like a million of those terrible, terrible, cringy songs that you write will turn into this beautiful song you write one day, you know? But if you stop because you're so discouraged that your music is terrible, back way back here, you know, like you're never going to get to that point where everything is like, you know? And I think about that so often. So like even when I'm writing like to this day and I don't like something that much, I'll still finish a song, dude, and I'll scrap it at the end. I'll just like throw it away because I know that if I stop, bro, like that's it. And that's what's funny about like critiques, you know, people critiquing that kind of thing. It's like, dude, I'm on my own journey to like figure out what I want. I'm trying to find purpose in my music personally. So for anyone to like look at that and like not, they can't, like, dude, I don't care if people talk bad on it, but it's like, I don't care really what anyone has to say because that's important for me to keep going and I don't need any input on it. And even the people who have good feedback for it, even the people who love it and like are my biggest fans, I look at them and I appreciate them, but I'm also like, no disrespect, this is all for me, you know? But it's because, dude, everyone needs that journey in their life to where they're trying to figure out what that song is at the end of the road.
So is it more finding out about yourself? Is it more that journey of self-discovery?
I think everything is, man. Like, I feel like with your what you're trying to do, with what you're doing, like, that's a journey with yourself. You're trying to, like, test your limits and, like, figure out what hits, what doesn't, what's good, what's bad, you know? And I think every single person is doing that. And if you're not, then... If you're not trying to like this, dude, that's what's crazy to me about people. Like, we think we know ourselves so well because we're in our own bodies, but we don't. We don't know where we're going to stop or where we're willing to quit or where we're willing to push through. So, yeah, I think it is like a journey with myself to like write this music. But it's also a beautiful thing, dude. We're really lucky to get to do it.
Oh,
so,
yeah. So
it's just a blast, you know, I'm just having a great time and I'm really grateful every morning when I wake up. I'm like, holy shit. This is real life because a lot of people get stuck like you're doing in the 9-to-5 stuff.
So, what was the journey before the Navy, mate? What was it like then? Because you You had some fun by the sounds of it.
Oh, about last time? Dude, we're still having fun, but man, I was never really into sports. You know, all my friends were really into sports. So instead of playing sports and stuff, I'd go home and like write these dumb songs, and I would back then it was Skype. I would Skype all these girls, you know, and I'd be singing them love songs, you know, and I'd be telling them, yeah, man. And we would always just go down to like Goose Island and some of my music and like the backyards of my friends, and we were all just rowdy as ever as 16 and 17 year olds, you know. And I think a lot of people should do that because it made us really close with each other. So that's kind of what I was doing up until I joined the Navy. We were just playing music, and I was trying to, at least, like I said, it wasn't too good, but that's what's good. My friends too, when I was younger, my friends knew it sucked too, but they knew it's what I wanted to do, so they all supported me, you know. So it was really nice.
You left school. Did you drop out of school?
No. Dude, this close to not graduating though. This close. Like, yeah. It wasn't for my old man, I would not have graduated high school because I was the student body president and everything my freshman and sophomore year, you know. And then my junior year, I got super into like, and it wasn't like that story of like decline. I didn't have like a drop off moment or anything. I just kind of like always knew that like this is kind of stupid, you know. Like I'm sitting in this classroom and for the most part, I know most of this stuff, you know. And I was like, I just want to like be having fun. I want to be riding dirt bikes and going on rope swings with all the boys. Like, this is so dumb. So I just wouldn't show up, you know. I was like, screw it, you know. And my dad didn't know, and I would just go to work. I would go to school every day, and I'd be like, no. And I'd go do whatever I wanted to do. And then finally, my vice principal, my senior year, called my dad up, you know, and she was like, hey, your son hasn't been showing up. And he's like late to everything and all that. And my dad, he like went to the school with me, and he's like, okay, if he's not late again, if he's present for all the rest of his classes, can he graduate? And she was like, yeah, I guess. And dude, it was the worst like 2 months of my life, because I had to show up to every class, I had to be on time to every single thing, and I was like, man, I cannot wait to get out of here. I think that's another reason why I joined the Navy, apart from my dad, is like I just wanted to get out of Oklahoma as bad as I possibly could have, you know.
So you get into the Navy, you pass selection. Are you still writing songs at that point? Because I know what the lads within the Navy, that kind of like, you know, what are you up to? Are you writing poems over there? How did that one go down?
You simp, what are you doing? But dude, I went to training school, you know. I went to training school in Florida, and I had all these roommates, and two of them were from Oklahoma, and then one of them was from like, I think Puerto Rico or something. And I, like, all night, man, I'd always be, like, playing. And back then, dude, I didn't know what real music was. So I was playing, like, Thomas Rhett and all those, like, big country guys and, like, George Strait songs, because my mom loved George Strait. And I would just be playing them, covering their music, you know. And then everyone would be like, dude, shut up. We're trying to sleep, you know. So I kind of just put it down. Like, at that point, I just put it down. And for, like, a year, I just didn't do anything. I was really focused on not getting kicked out of the Navy, you know, because it's pretty difficult that first year, 2 years. And once I kind of got my freedom back and my ability to like do stuff is when I picked the guitars back up and started playing again. And I was like, dude, I used to sit in my room and just play after work and stuff and be like, dude, this is what I want to do. I don't know what it is about this right here, me writing this and playing this. This is what I want to do the rest of my life. And that was my dream from like probably 20 years old onward.
That's interesting. So you say that was the dream. There's an interview you do with Grady Smith. I think like one of the only interviews you've done. And it seemed on that, mate, you were quite happy to keep the music as like a side hustle.
Of course, that was kind of my plan the whole time. That was my plan the whole, like, it was my dream, but it wasn't my dream to like get the attention or money or anything. It was my dream to always be in a place where I could go to that place and play that music right there. You know, so like I could be in the Navy my whole life. I could do whatever my whole life. But as long as I had that like alone time and private space where I could like write that music and enjoy that, then I was good. I was content, you know. So when I say that was my dream, that was it. Like right at that moment, what I was doing was my dream, you know. So it was just cool, dude. I just enjoyed it a lot to have like a outlet like that. So when it's funny when people say like that's their big, like that's their dream, you always imagine them going down this like journey and then finding this like mountaintop where they're like, yeah, like a Grammy or something, you know? But dude, I'm like a simple guy. So when I say that's my dream, it really was just to like always have somewhere to like write that music, period. That was it. Because I knew, dude, so many people are struggling to even like put a roof over their head. And I'm in here in this warm room writing music. I'm like, how lucky am I that I get to fucking be writing poetry to a guitar, you know? It's just cool.
Who told you, or was it something in yourself that said, I need to put this out there? Because it was Twitter, right? Where you first...
Yeah. Dude, I was streaming... Yeah, but I was screaming into the abyss for like 3 years, you know, just playing like songs on Twitter and like five people would like it. And I'd be like, hey, yeah, you know, like, heck yeah, dude, and five people, you know? And I would watch those grow. And like one time I had 13 likes on a video. And that's all Dude, I just love making music. So for 13 people to enjoy it, I was like, damn, I did it, you know? And I just kept doing that for so long. And people don't know that. Like, if all these people would go back to my Twitter, they'll look at the videos and there's just like so many videos of me just like, they're terrible. They're not good songs, but it's just me playing, you know? And I went to Florida. And yeah, dude, it was just like a flash in the pan. I put Hope Again out and that got like, X amount of retweets, X amount of favorites. And then I just kept doing that with some, I guess I just had a run of luck. And I had like six songs I put on Twitter that went completely viral after that long of just like screaming into the abyss. And that's when it all started. And that's when people, like, I think the world told me I had to chase the dream. I was never like, I think I was forced into it. You know, respect, like, I thank God I was forced into it, but I never was trying to, like, go down this path. People made me go down this path because I felt like I needed to do it for them. And so, yeah, dude, I put those songs out, and then my buddy Alba, he's like, hey, man, I can record those for you with just a microphone, and we can put them on, like, Spotify and iTunes and stuff, and then damn right we did, you know? And it was all history from there.
What do you think it, because you said that one that when like got X.
It was just people, man. I don't, to this day, dude, I can pick up my guitar and I have grown a lot in my music and stuff, but to this day I'll pick up my guitar and I have a lot of like self-loathing when it comes to talents, because I despise people who are so egotistical that they think their talents are like, or they're like, what they're doing is so important that people have to listen to it, you know, or like musicians and stuff. So like I'm very like careful to always kind of not like my own music, you know, not in like a weird way, just like I can't listen to Deanne anymore because I feel like I've grown enough from then to like kind of want to do better. And Elizabeth too, like those albums I listen to them and I'm like, oh, I can do better for the people who are listening. But I never like there was never a moment where I was like, oh, I'm good enough now to pursue this. It was always the people that told me I was good enough. And like that, it fueled me, you know? So I was like, oh, okay, people enjoy it. People like this, I'm gonna keep going. And if people don't like it, I'll stop putting it out and I'll just be the same kid in my room who was living his dream 4 years ago and is, you know, like playing that music, and I'll just stop putting it out, you know? It never was like a vision quest for me.
Well, yeah, you've never pushed it. You've always let it grow organically. That's what it seems.
Of course, yeah, man, because of that reason. Because I never want people to think that, like, I think I'm good enough where they have to listen. Like, the marketing and, like, the advertising behind music now, it's like, I think people should find music themselves, you know, dude? And, like, that's what's so funny when people talk trash on my tunes. I'm like, yeah, I get it. I say the same stuff, man, you know? So it's really funny for me to, like, watch. And it's, dude, the music that I put out gave me my, like, hope in humanity back, because like people were just listening to it for the words and the simplest, like the simply enough, like my emotions and the words attached to it were enough for people, you know? And it made me realize that human beings they don't need that much in music. Like they don't need that much. All they need is the truth, you know? All they need is someone to be fucking honest for once. And then they listen to it and they're like, okay, I relate to that. I like this. And that gave me so much hope in people and like music and all that, because I feel like it's just also like there's so much makeup on it. There's so much artificial vanity attached to it. And I'm like, dude, why can't someone just sing, you know? Campfire style and just have people sing with them. And so it gave, dude, I'm as happy as I've ever been just for the sake of other people enjoying my music, you know?
So when, so again, like we talk about growing organically, you did have a lot of record labels approach you and you kind of rejected all those because of you wanted to be authentic because of the things you're saying. You didn't want this makeup or to be fake. You didn't want to have to not be yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, for that simple fact that like I felt like I wanted to wait to go with a record label until I knew that I was big enough, not in an arrogant way, but big enough to where the label would be lucky to have me and I wouldn't be lucky to have the label, you know? That's what I was waiting for, because that would put me in a place where like I wouldn't have to delve into their marketing schemes and like their attempts to like copyright everything and make a pretty penny off me, you know? Like I never wanted to buy into any of that because it's not what it's about. And the only reason that I went with a label was because of the music, dude. I feel like I'm at a point in my life where I feel like I've evolved enough, and I might sound pretentious or arrogant when I say it. I don't want to, but I'm saying like I've learned so much in the last 2 years that, dude, I want to put a record out that's like actually beautiful for myself. And that's why I did it, because they do provide like that financial stuff behind that record to like pay for that record and make sure you have the right players in the right places and the right people there and the right producers and like make it as pretty as it can be. And I have like 8 notebooks ready, dude, for another album. And I'm like taking notes every day on certain songs and saying like, I want this here and this here. And this will be it for me. You know, like I want this album to really like tell people what I see in my own music, you know? Because the last two were just me like, hey, I got these songs, you guys want to hear them? Kind of putting my feet out there saying like, if you guys like them, it's okay. If you don't like them, it's okay. But I'm going to do it anyway just to see. But now that I know like I have a sturdy like fan base and people actually listen to it, and I want to respect them. I want to respect their ears and like give them something that's worth listening to for their lives, you know, like lifetime music, like generational stuff.
Because part of that, what we spoke about last time, was you found a guy you could trust as well. The I can't remember the London geezer.
Oh, Eddie Spear. Yeah, man. And I have and I have this team around me that like whatever I say creatively goes, and whatever I want goes, because I think I've gotten to a place where they trust me enough, you know, to like, oh, this kid can do it by himself. But like, I felt like I got to a point where I was kind of just being a jackass, you know, because you have to respect
what do you mean by that?
I feel like you have to respect music enough to, and I learned this the last year. I don't think like at the beginning, like I said, I thought it was just me being honest and people resonating with that. But now I feel like I'm at a point with a bunch of musicians up here who have worked their whole lives to like make beautiful records and make beautiful music and put the instruments in the right place and speak to their fans, and here I am, just 24-year-old Oklahoman, like, hey, playing my acoustic guitar and people are loving it, and I'm getting pretty big, you know. And I want those people also to know that I respect their like efforts in that, and I want to be a part of that too, you know. I don't just want to be this kid who's like, just be honest, you know. And so that's important to me. I want to respect like the temple of musicians and like how much effort actually goes into well-polished records, you know?
Finding that balance. So with,
exactly,
with what you're doing at the moment, how are you going to balance that? So you're in the Navy.
Yep.
I don't know how much you want to say it, bro. Obviously, things can be edited. The beauty of post-production.
Hell yeah.
Where's your... How?
Me too, bro. That's my head all the time, what you just did. What? How? What?
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 That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
How many hours do you work in the Navy at the moment?
Oh, right now it's probably like 10 hours a day. 10 hours a day. But that's like on the easy end, you know? Like I just got off my sea duty billet, which like is where you're like deployable and you're going on deployments and you're working like 15 hours a day and stuff like that. And now I'm on this thing called a shore duty billet where you just kind of, you go to work and you still work for the Navy and everything, but you're kind of more home based and you're doing more like you're doing more 9-to-5 stuff, you know, like you're going to work and you're getting off at a certain time, which is not, it's like 6-to-4 stuff, but you know. It's really nice. So I have a little bit more time, but kind of barely.
And you'd be quite happy staying like that for the foreseeable future?
Oh, yeah, I would, genuinely. I would like to stay where I'm at and come home and enjoy the weekends and play some more music and see where that goes, you know? I want, if I had my dream, I would stay in for, I would probably stay in for 20 years like my old man, you know? But it's gotten so, everything's gotten so kind of jumbled and weird with like touring and the label now and my personal like dreams, because I never thought this was going to be a thing. So as a growing like dude, as a man, I'm like at a cross too, you know? And so I'm interested to see where I go with it, you know? I'm stoked.
Where do you want to go with it, mate?
That's another thing. It's like, what a beautiful thing it is for me to be able to write music for people and actually do something with it. It's amazing. But also, I would like it to stay exactly where it is at the size that it is at, because it's just, it's perfect. You know, like I have these people who listen to my music who really enjoy it. And then I have my Navy bosses who keep me grounded, you know, they yell at me every day. And I got my family out here. But I know it's going to go one or two ways, and I'm either going to grow until it's unsustainable to manage both things at once, or it's all going to fall apart and I'm going to become a traveling man, you know, and travel the world and beg for money on street corners with a guitar, you know.
Either of those sounds good options to me, mate.
I know, dude. Life's a good thing. That's the thing too, bro. No matter which way it goes, it's just, it's cool. It's cool.
I spoke about earlier, practice makes perfect. What, how much, bad internet connection, man.
Blame it on that.
How much do you, what about your singing, songwriting? How many hours do you provide to that per night? How much do you put in per night? Or is it just, is it a frame of mind thing or is it a schedule thing?
I can't schedule it, dude. I actually just had that conversation like last week with somebody. I told him like, it's impossible for me to schedule those things because it like pops in my head. I'm like, oh, gotta do that now. But bro, I feel so calm and collected like right now because my family and stuff for the holidays, like Christmas and New Year's, I told myself like, hey, no music, because it's impossible for me to like keep myself from doing it. So, sorry. Yeah, dude, I kind of just took a break and I stepped back and now I got like 1,000 songs I want to write because I took that break for 2 weeks. So it's really cool. And I learned that too in like the last week and a half, that like it is important to have that time where you take a step back and the view on the mountaintop, you know, look down and be like, cool. And you can, it's like writing in a journal too. It's like you finally get a second and you can like reflect and be like, okay, let's move forward from here. So that's what I did the last week and a half. And I can't schedule it out, but honestly, dude, I'll probably write like for the next 5 days just because I hadn't wrote for a week and a half.
So how is it normally? Like, take away the Christmas, New Year break. Is it get the boys round, play some songs, drink some beer, or is it you do it on your own, or is it a good mixture of both?
Oh, I think we talked about that too. So back in the day, dude, when I was like, I don't know, 19 and 20, I would get off work and I could not stop myself from sitting there all night for like 9-10 hours, going to sleep at 3 a.m, waking up at 6, going to work, getting off 9 hours, just writing music. That's why I think I was good enough to like speak to people, because I just would do that every night for like 4 years. And now it's the same way. I when I get off work, it's hard for me to like spend time with Rose sometimes because I just want to like write music. And not because I don't love her, you know, but it's like I just all I want to do is like sit there and just play music all night long. And it's never scheduled, but it's all I want to do all the time, you know.
So is that a thing you're trying to like balance that? Trying to balance that kind of like when you play and also personal family life and all the other shit that goes along with it?
Yeah, I'm trying to put it through a prism and like have these compartmentalized places, you know, where I can... That's a big thing too, because we're young and we're like passionate and we're like, oh, we got to do it now, all of it, you know. And I think that's part of growing up is like realizing that there's different ways to do different things. And that is a big thing in my life right now, is balancing all of it out. But then again, dude, my favorite songwriters in the world were just crazy, you know, and they were just crazy. They were loony bins and they just couldn't stop writing music. And that's how they became who they were. So it's such a strange, I was talking about that last night too with a friend of mine, but it's just such a strange thing about people. So, but we're figuring it out.
So you say that because we hear these songs and it's like drinking whiskey and going all in and all that kind of stuff. And it makes you romanticize it. Sometimes that is the right way.
I think, yeah. And I think people romanticize it for the right reasons. But also you miss out on a lot of stuff in your life if you just focus solely on one passion, you know. So it's a scary balancing act of like being that crazy dude. Being or woman who like just dedicates their whole life to this one craft, you know, and you're passionate about it, and like you go off the deep end and that's your life, you know. Or you can go the other route and you can have the family and the house and the beautiful Christmas photos every year, you know. And it's like either one or the other, you know. You can't have, because if you're not doing one, you can't do the other, and it's just, it's insane. So passion is a funny thing.
You believe that sacrifice, then?
One way or the other. Oh, it's so fascinating to me. One way or the other, you got to sacrifice something.
So you can't have both?
And for sure. I think you can, but like, imagine if Jimi Hendrix was like, you know what? I love this woman. I want to marry her. And then he wouldn't have wrote all the music from the second half of his career. Because he was worried about this lady or his children, you know. Like, I'm not talking personally either. I'm talking like, that's how I feel about it. Like, if you want to be the best of all time, dude, I think you do have to pick one or the other. But maybe not, you know. Like I said, I'm still growing and evolving into being a musician. I'm at the beginning too, you know. Like, I have no room to talk about those guys. But it's just interesting to think about for me.
So you say you're at the beginning of this journey of that. But Have you had to sacrifice things so far in your life?
Ooh. Yeah. That's a funny question, man, because if you're doing what you're passionate about, then what else is the point to life, you know? Like, I don't think I have, because if I'm writing, then again, I don't think I'm that good or anything personally. I just like doing it, you know? So, like, if I'm in there playing music, and I'm in my purest, like, human form of what I'm passionate about, that's the point of life to me, you know? And it could be the same for some other guy in his garage who's doing carpentry, you know? It could be the same for some girl who's just painting in her kitchen. That's the most beautiful form of life to me. So, like, I don't think that part is... If you chase your passions, man, it's not sacrificial. But if you go the other way... I think you are sacrificing who you truly are, you know? The light inside you shouldn't like dim it for anything. And that's what's funny about people to me. But that's just how I feel, you know. And people might have found that balance somewhere, and I just haven't found it yet. But
I don't know. I think it sounds to me like you are talking about the balance, but we talk about the other people, the rat race, the people going into the 9 to 5, coming here and watching some TV. You, like we said before, you started at 14. Do you think there's anything to that? Do you think there's, because obviously hobbies and passions and interests, they help a lot. We've spoken about that. Why isn't it that people don't do those that often?
I don't know.
Just like football.
It's absolutely terrifying though, dude. Like when I think about people and when I think about my life and how crazy I feel, like when I'm at work and I have a song stuck in my head and I just want to play it, it's all I want to do. is like nothing matters except getting home and like playing or getting on stage and playing that song for 1,000 people. Like when I think about that, how passionate I am and driven towards that, it terrifies me that people don't feel that about certain things. You know, like it, like all my friends too, they love football. Like I'm not a sports guy, but they love football and stuff, and they, or like anything else, they love The Bachelorette, the show, and they'll like get off work or they'll like whatever they're doing and they'll go home and they'll sit down. They won't be reading or anything. They'll just sit down and watch this like fucking square in their living room for 3 to 4 hours. And then they'll go to sleep after eating dinner. And I'm like, it terrified me enough as a person where I was like, dude, I got to create something. I got to do something. I want to leave something for somebody, whether that be my kids or 1 million people. It doesn't matter. But I want something, you know, that I did by myself that means something to someone else, you know. So I don't know why that is. I don't know why people don't. Because for me, I'm willing to die for like a passion that I have, you know. And for someone not to have those emotions in their body is strange, you know. Because that's the point of life, is finding what makes you happy and doing it till you die. That's the point of life, you know. And if you don't have that, dude, if that TV is what makes you happy, then damn. And that's why, dude, with all my friends, dude, I'll literally like go to the camera store with them or like go to Hobby Lobby with them and like ask them what they want to do. And like what, with my sailors too, my sailors in the Navy, man, the younger guys, I'll look at them and be like, no, what are you passionate about? Like, what do you want to do with your life? And they'll be like, you know, stay in for 20 years, gonna retire, you know, go to Home Depot, get a job at Home Depot, you know. And I'm like, what are you passionate about, you know? What makes you tick? And it's never out of a place of like I'm better or anything. It's just out of a place of like I want people to know that they can have these. My buddy Austin, he's like totally into filmmaking. He's like a Tarantino stan, you know, and he wants to do it so badly, but he plays so many, and we had this conversation. He got really upset with me because I told him, like, dude, stop playing those video games and go out there and film something, you know? And he's passionate about the video games too, but I was like, dude, pick one, you know? Like, find one that makes you, like, just go, you know? And it's very important for, so I went to the camera store with him and we picked out a bunch of stuff, you know? Because that's other people's passions. Like, I want them to know that it's possible. Because what happened to me, you know, I never thought I'd be anything with my passion, but it happened. So I want to, if I spread anything in life, it's like, do it. Just do it. I tried to, at least die trying.
Was there any periods in your life when you were writing your music, you were singing it, where something might have hit you, like maybe a critic or maybe someone close to you, where you were like, oh shit, what am I doing this for? Were there any moments when you wanted to give up?
Every day, I feel that. But it's not like a negative feeling either. It's what I was talking about like in the beginning of our conversation. We're like, dude, I'll be sitting there sometimes and I have no idea why I'm writing a song or like why I'm doing what I'm doing. But I know that if I quit or if I stop, everything prior doesn't matter, you know? And if that moment when people give up, that one thing is the moment when this is going to sound so cliche, the moment when they give up that one thing that makes them tick is the moment they start to die, you know, like, and I believe that, like, that's when you stop learning and growing and like being passionate about something. So, and I'm that guy. I like to do all sorts of crap every day, like drawing and writing and music and books and all that stuff. And I love it. I love feeling like that insane psycho person who's just going from one thing to the other and trying my best at each one of them. Because, dude, if I wasn't, I would be like, am I okay, you know? Because life is cool, dude. The world is cool and people are cool. And, like, it's so strange to me that people don't find that fascination and, like, run around all these different things and people and, like, enjoy as much as they can before the world takes them, you know? So bizarre. Because that's all I want to do, is just fucking do it, all of it.
Within the label of a musician, there's like many things. There's the writing songs, there's the playing, there's the recording, there's the getting feedback as well. You know, watching your YouTube videos explode, for instance. You know, seeing what's happening on Spotify, what the favorited songs are. Which one of those do you like the most? Is it playing live? Is it just writing it in your bedroom? Is it just being with the boys and singing?
Dude, writing it is probably my pride, because we were talking about being alone earlier. Dude, I like being alone a lot. Not because I want to get away from people, not because of that, but like when you're alone, you can really feel how you want to feel and scream what you want to scream and feel those emotions. Like writing it first, playing it second for people. I like playing it, and then third would be recording, because recording is a blast, bro. I love recording, because you can experience whatever different things sound like and stuff. And like recently, it's more rings true, because before it was just playing it into a microphone, as simple as that. But now I'm working with Eddie and Alba. We're like sending each other stuff, and like it's so fun to like listen. I was at dinner with my dad and my friends the other night, and I heard the rain on the tarp. You know, we were sitting on this rooftop in the city, and I heard the rain on the tarp and like the noise and like the acoustic. And I was like, dude, sounds are so cool, you know. So I'm getting really into that now, like just experimenting and sending those guys those noises and stuff. So probably those three things, but writing and being alone would be my absolute favorite.
Is there a thing now you're starting to having to do things a bit more professionally that there's a frustration there? Because a lot of the videos you've done on YouTube, there's this authentic nature. You're sweating, you know. It's filmed on a mobile phone and it's uploaded straight to YouTube. Yeah. And that kind of is what got the eyeballs on you. I know you speak about like your next album. You want to make something that is truly sort of beautiful. It's like this kind of perfect thing. But is there a kind of thing that you miss from that kind of just sort of like home brew?
Dude, it ain't, it's that stuff is, like we were in Seattle last night and we were busking on the street, dude, for like 4 hours. Just because we knew that people wanted to hear live music for New Year's, you know? And my buddy Zach was recording me, just like Vasquez did 2 years ago. You know, I love that stuff. And I love being able to just put, but now it is different in a sense of like, the music that I'm making, I think, is more valuable than it used to be. You know, like, if I put it out just like that on YouTube and I plan on putting it on an album, there's a conflict of interest there, because like Warner and stuff, they're like, hey, man, why are you? But in my own head, too, because if I want to see these songs run through to like fruition and like have those beautiful, like little, all the stuff that I want in them, I can't. I now realize that I can't have both, like the instant gratification of all those people liking it on YouTube and Twitter, and the sought out, like thought about, the time spent on one song that makes it the Jeff Buckley's Hallelujah and the Johnny Cash's Hurts. You know, like so much time was spent on those. Those weren't released for like 3 years because people were trying to make them perfect. So I'm trying to that stuff will never end, though. I want to always put like my burners on YouTube and sweat it out, dude, and scream and yell and scrap and let people hear me, who I am, you know. And then I also want to have that like studio albums of music that people haven't heard too, and I want both worlds to just coexist, you know. That's my dream. That'd be really cool.
You talk about your burners. What do you mean about your burners?
Just when I say burners, I mean it respectfully to myself, like. The music that I, like, probably an album's probably 11, 12 songs, you know. All the ones that I, like, didn't make it, I just want to scream and yell and sweat out on YouTube, you know. That's kind of what my plan is. And I also want people that were following me from the jump to know that I haven't forgot about them, you know. Like, I know why you guys are here, and I know why I'm here. So you guys still deserve, like, me and my freaking sweaty, red-faced... You guys think I'm all on cocaine, you know? Like, dude, people still deserve that, you know? I love that. I love that people followed me because of that. Because that's the truest form of someone making music, is sitting there and screaming it. So it's cool, man. It's really cool.
The album you're going to create, this album you're making, is it, you're making it at the moment?
Yeah, and it's the first studio album that I'm ever going to do. So I'm interested to see how it turns. Yeah, okay. First studio album.
So this first studio album, how do you know what songs you're going to put on there? How does that selection process go?
It's funny, man, because like I'll want songs on there that I love to my core, and my friends will be like, yeah, little fast, little slow, little too this, little too that. And I'm like, screw off, you know. and I'll put whatever I want on there, you know, but like, just because it means so much to me, you know, like the whole world could hate it and I'd be like, okay, cool. I didn't ask you to listen to it, you know, but then again, I don't know. Cause you never know. You never know what people are going to enjoy. Like Heading South, my like, biggest song was nothing to me, but not in a discrediting way to the people who listened to it. It just didn't mean, it didn't mean what it means to people, to me, because I have other songs that mean more to me than that one. Cause I wrote that one in 5 minutes when I was just pissed off and I just wanted to play it, you know? And that song is huge, you know, that song blew up. So kind of in my head, I'm like, screw it, dude. You never know which one is going to be those songs that people want to hear. So just like follow your heart, you know, in the mirror. I just like follow what you think means the most to you.
So it's not the cliche thing where you write it and go, that's it. That's going to be a banger.
No, I can't do that, you know, because such strange songs have become my biggest ones, you know. And like Condemned, this is interesting. Condemned, a huge, like a big song that people enjoyed on the first album. That song was like probably one of the drivers in that Deanne album, because like that was one of the first videos I put up. My buddy Chris, the night I sang that for him, he's like, eh. You know, I wouldn't put that on there. You know? And I was like, And I trust him, you know? But I went with myself and then I put it on there. Spelled it wrong, but I still put it on there, you know? And people loved it. And then the opposites happened too, where I thought something was just, oh, man, this is the best song ever. And then people were like, eh, you know? So it's just really funny. And I like, dude, I like the puzzle of figuring it out. And I love people and like their feedback, good and bad, dude. I'm so intrigued by like just human beings telling me how they feel about the stuff that I just don't even, I don't really sweat it. The popularity of it.
It's like working out the YouTube algorithm though, isn't it?
Yeah, but then, dude, I didn't even know the algorithm existed, you know, until like my shit started popping and I was like, what's going on here? Why are so many people watching this stuff? And then, like, all my friends were like, no, there's a thing that, like, if people like your stuff, they'll see more of it, you know? And, like, when you subscribe, like, comments, likes and stuff, I had no idea about any of that until, like, 7-8 months ago. And so it's just funny, you know?
So what songs, we talk about Heading South, what songs for you, though, have been the ones which you've held dear?
Sweet Deanne, of course. Sweet Deanne is a really, really important song to me, just because... It rains true. Like I sang it to my sister on a porch like 2 weeks ago and she just bawled her eyes out. We both did, you know, and I hate to overshare, but that song means a lot. And, random ones, you know, like, it's more the memories attached to these songs too. It's not the songs themselves that like mean that much. Like the music itself, it's like what I remember when I was writing them, like Come As You Are was about my best friends in that barn and Revival. We were all just like so drunk. And I just didn't care, you know? We were all just sweaty and just like, whatever, dude. And we all just yelled it as loud as we could. And we're just dancing in this room. And like, that's what I love about that song. And like, Doing Fine, the memories connected with that, with all my friends back home and the places that we used to run around in. Because I hadn't been home in like 5 years, you know? And like, listening to that song, I'm like, it just means so much. Truly been home, you know, like I've been home hit and miss for like tours and like the weekends and like little meetings here and there, but I haven't got to be at home, you know? So that song means a lot to me too, but all of them mean something different as well, you know?
So the professional album, is it going to be a mixture of these emotions? Is it a mixture of like love, anger, taking the piss, for instance, the Vampire song you did recently? Yeah. Receiving the high phone bill. Do you want all those in there, or is there going to be a certain theme?
No way, man. I want a culmination. I'm going to self-title it. I want it to be me. I want the album to be me, because it was the first one was my mom, you know? The second one was my lady. The singles were all just kind of like random ones, you know? And the EP was just like these dreamy stories that I just thought of, and I wanted to release those songs, but they didn't mean as much to me as a lot of the songs that I want to put on the album, you know? Because, like, Deanne and Elizabeth, they were more personal to me, but the EP was kind of, like, just story songs, you know? I did it on purpose to where I would have all this room to tell the world, like, who I was, you know? Like, and it's not going to be about me, but I want the songs to be 100% authentically me, like, what I actually am. And Deanne was a lot of those too. Like, but that was more of like the younger me, you know. And I just want the sounds and the music and the words to just reflect who I am. For once, you know, I want the music to be about me and my experiences and how I feel. And I want them to be catchy too, man. I want a hopeful, I want a happy feeling album, you know. I just want people to listen to it and enjoy their summers and like spend time with their dads and freaking, dude, I just want the world to be a happy place, you know. So I want the next album, the self-titled one that I put out into the world, to be one of just like good guitar and good melodies, and just people can sing along to them and know that they're not alone. That's the next album for me, dude. That's what I dream of. Yeah.
Go on. What did you say at the end there? Sorry.
Oh no, I just said that's the next album for me. That's like the writing journey I'm on right now. You know, is a happy one, dude. I feel good. I feel healthy, and I feel really grateful for my life right now. And that's why I'm writing right now, is because I just want people to feel that.
The videos you create at the moment, they're you on a mobile phone. I know the recent one you did, I don't know if that's going to go in. Well, it did actually, didn't it? You uploaded it to YouTube, the one where you're with your mates and you went snowboarding. Don't mention the skiing,
mate. Yeah, mine again. Yeah. We were going snowboarding, dude. And like we Airbnb'd this cabin, and then my buddy Zach brought all of his production stuff because he knows with me, like, whatever, like, be ready to record something, you know. So like he brought all that, and we just had a weekend in this cabin, and we just wanted to make it good, so we just brought all the cameras out there and we just did it. And it was really cool because I had my loop pedal and all that, and it was just fun. That one was fun, dude. And we were all just like, we woke up that morning, had some Jack and Coke, had some steaks for breakfast, dude. We wanted to go down the mountain on the snowboards, man. And then we recorded that in like 40 minutes, bro, so we could get on with our day. But that song means a lot, dude. That song, I love that song.
What's the future, though, with these videos, though? Are you wanting to, gonna, like... So, for instance, the album cover, you know, you reached out to... Was it an artist you already knew?
Yeah, and followed him for, like, 3.5 years, 4 years. I got, like, his... He worked with John Mayer, and I got all of his limited edition shirts when I was just a poor, like, third class in the Navy. I literally went broke on this guy because I loved his work so much. You know, and I love, I could never afford his stuff, you know, like I can never afford it because it was expensive, but he's also like an amazing artist. So I understood it. I never had like an anger at him because his stuff was so expensive. But, I finally got to a point where like on Instagram and social media and stuff, I feel like I have like a presence where I can like DM the guy and be like, hey man, I've been following you for a really long time. It'd be really cool if you could do this for me. And he messaged me back, and I was like, that day I called all my family. I was like, hey, you guys remember that shirt that I spent like $200 on 3 years ago, you know? And it was so full circle for me, dude. I was smiling ear to ear. And he's just such an amazing artist. And yeah, it was cool.
But what about videos? Are you wanting to put out some kind of curated videos in the future? Like experiment
yeah,
with
that?
Yeah,
dude. Like, experiment with that. Well, me and my buddies, we're all really big, like, videographer and photographers. Like, we love that stuff. And I wanted to, before I got out of the Navy, like, 4 years ago, I was going to get out. And I wanted to be an Uber driver and a photographer in the city, you know? Funny enough, bro, because I just love photography enough where I was just going to do, like, cheap shoots, you know? And I got all these cameras and I have all this gear to, like, make beautiful product, like, not beautiful, beautiful to us, you know? And we do we want to experiment with all that and like make it nice to watch and enjoyable, but also not forget what we were talking about earlier. We're like, dude, it's okay to just have your phone every once in a while.
Not forget where you came from. So also almost like tell a story in the video, not just have you being filmed.
Yeah, I can only imagine writing the music and then like making a little music video with it. It'd be really cool to be able to like experiment with that. But then, you know, people be like, oh my God, he's changed. But really, it's just us trying to, dude. Really, it's just us trying to like freaking like dive into our own creative, whatever we want to do, we're going to try to do it just for the sake of our own sanity, you know?
Become more creative.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really cool to me because we've been really diving into like video stuff and like gear and all that, because I really want to be careful with like anything that I get out of this music, we put all of it back into it. So like inadvertently, dude, that's going to happen with like the production of my videos and stuff, where like if I'm making like money off of the music. I want to put it back into it. So in return, people are going to get more polished, nice things to watch and enjoy for the sake of themselves, you know. But then it's so strange that if that happens, people are like, oh, you've changed. But really, it's us trying to do right by the people who are talking about how much we've changed. And I think that's the worst thing for artists is like they literally can never win with that. So and not that we don't respect the people who listen, but we as a group of friends, we've never cared about anything, let alone people, you know, like talking trash and worrying about us changing, because we have a blast and that's all we care about, dude. We don't care about if you're listening or not. We just want to have fun and have people resonate with the music to where it helps them. That's the only thing we're worried about.
So you talk about the people, but then you say you don't really give a shit about that. Is it more respecting the art form? Respecting like what comes with music, you know, the telling the story, getting that story over to the audience, and that being where the people bit comes in. But it's that medium that exactly. You're interested in. It's that medium, how you visualize, how you sing, how you get across that message you want to get across.
I just always want to be like the shit talking guy that doesn't care what anyone thinks, but at the same time appreciating people listening and loving the people who support me, you know, and like being a good artist to the people who are good supporters of me, you know. So it's like I'm finding that balance, and I like in that regard, I just like I always want to be the guy who, like, when someone has something good or something bad to say, I'm like, don't care, dude. We're just doing it to have fun. But also the people who are like DM me and they're like, hey, you saved my life with your music, I give them what they're due and say like, thank you for listening, you know, and like, I appreciate you listening to it and giving us a chance to sing it more. That's what's cool about people who support you too. Like, the more people that you treat well and like listen to the music, the more people will come, the more you can make more stuff, the more it just kind of all multiplies and it just gets really cool. And that's where I'm at right now, is it's just getting really cool for us.
And that stuff must feel good, because the recent thing you did with the handwritten notes and the photographs, you did for like a mental health awareness and charity, right?
Yeah. My buddy Garrett, he took his own life this year and it really affected me pretty deeply. And so I just like, you can't stand still. Yeah. And you can't really stand still when something like that happens. So I just wanted to do something, you know, to not even clear my own conscience, but like just let the world know that they're not alone in that. Like, what if someone would have saw the Instagram post that I put out and been like, oh, someone cares, you know, thank God. And yeah, that's why I did that. But people matter more to me than I probably should let them, you know, the empathy that I feel for old boys and people listening.
Zach, it's been a fucking pleasure, man. I sounded a bit Australian.
Yeah, as it has, dude. Man. I want an accent. That's all I want. I want an accent. I'm gonna come live with you for a little bit and gain that accent, dude. I'm excited. I want to tour Europe so bad, so bad. That's our dream.
Is the plan for that?
I think. I mean, I hope. There's plenty of people who listen in the UK and like Australia and stuff, and I think it'd be really cool, dude. Once all this stuff clears over, because we're just Oklahoma boys who've never seen anything. All of them are like, I've been like on deployments and stuff, but I've never really got to have like fun in these countries. So it'd be cool to just tour over there and have a good time.
Is it just you then that'll do that? Or is there a band? Is there this, cause you talk about your boys and I know you have this like close knit group of friends, including your wife. You want to keep it like that, or are you happy to branch out?
I think it'll either be them or me, you know, like I'll either stay alone and do it myself. With respect to them, like they know that I'm not doing it because I don't like them. But it'll either be me or all of us, all the people that I trust. It's not even the fact that I don't want to like branch out to other people. It's just like people are so untrustworthy and slimy sometimes, you know, especially in the industry that we're in. Like even if it makes the music a little worse because we're all not professionals and stuff like that, I would rather trade that. I would trade trust for that, you know, 100% of the time. I just want to trust people, dude. Look for discernment in the world and know people are being honest opposed to anything. So yeah, it'll be me or them for sure.
And finally, I've just said I was going to go, but then finally one answer. Can you tell me when this album is aimed, or the plan is to when to release it? That was such a shitty worded question.
No, I get it. I want to write it. Dude, I want to write it first.
Do you have a date in your mind?
The label or whatever, they're asking me to. I'm like, shut up, you know? Like, just let me write it, and then I'll tell you when it's done, and then we can go from there, you know? Because I'm taking my, like I said, I really just want to, dude, I want to see what happens when I put all of my effort into one thing. That's what I want to do. And I'm trying not to let myself down. Yeah. So, I can't wait to announce it to people, but I have no idea when I'll be ready to, like, finally get a studio album out there.
Nice. I like it. Zach, thank you very much for your time, man.
Hell yeah, dude. It's always a pleasure, bro. We got to stay in touch, huh?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.